From In the Beginning to the Musical Apocalypse, this is The Bible Says What. I'm your host, Mike Wiseman, and on today's episode, I talk with author and former pastor Don C. Harris. Don is the author of Think Red Ink, which describes his struggle to believe the Bible and the doctrines of the church. Grab your Bibles and follow along as Don attempts to explain his internal magical guidance system to me. Stick around after the show for a special call to action. But first, a quick word from Pastor Wiseman.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Greetings, BSW heathens. Today we will not be reading from any atheistic holy scriptures, because there is no such thing. We will not be bowing down and worshiping the atheist deity, because there is no such thing. Atheism is not a religion. Atheists do not worship science or Dawkins or Darwin. Atheists do not have a set of rules. We do not follow any doctrine. I worship nothing and do not understand why anyone would want to worship something or someone in the first place. An atheist is merely a person who denies the existence of God. That's it. That's all there is to it. Let's start the show.
Is there anything in the Bible that you yourself have an issue with? Okay, so it took you reading the Bible to realize that those things were bad for you?
Yeah, it actually did.
Couldn't you figure this out on your own?
No, Ted Bundy could be redeemed. God doesn't kill children.
What do you think the Passover was? Yahweh sets up a whole system in the Old Testament where you slaughter animals just so he's able to forgive you.
Today we have a special guest, Don C. Harris. He's a former pastor, director of Think Red Ministries International, and author of several books. Welcome to the show, Don Harris.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for being on the show today. I appreciate you taking the time. I just have a few foundational questions for you so that I can get a better idea of what your beliefs are. Sound good?
Sure, cool. Yeah.
Cool. I'd like to start off with 2 Timothy 3:16. I just want to make sure you believe the Bible to be true and that it's correct when it says that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for preaching, teaching, and training in righteousness. Correct?
Yeah, I mean, with the provisos of, you know, what they're actually describing when they say all scripture, you know, there's a lot about the scriptures that, I don't believe the Bible is a magic book. I really mm-hmm. don't stand with modern Christianity that believes that it's magic mm-hmm. and that it has no errors in it. You'd have to be an idiot to think that it has no errors in it. I can't ascribe to the modern or at least the contemporary way of thinking on that, but certainly I believe the Bible. I've run my whole life by it. Mm-hmm. So go right ahead.
Yeah. good to know. Do you believe Yahweh and Jesus to be the same person, or are they separate entities?
Well, I happen to believe that that the Father's name is Yehovah, or Jehovah in an English pronunciation. I believe that Yehovah is considered by Jesus to be his father mm-hmm. and not necessarily the standard oneness doctrine is that all three are one and one is three and all the rest of this illogical foolishness that Jesus never seemed to mention or care about.
Okay. Sounds good. All right, so you've got a book, your newest book. Can you tell us a little bit about your newest book?
Well, that's a little confusing at this point because we just re-released a 15-year-old book, which is the newest thing off the press, which is The Questions of Jesus.
Gotcha.
In hardcover. But I think the book you're referring to is Think Red Ink, a book that we wrote for a lot of different reasons. One of them is it's kind of a, I call it kind of a candy biography. It's very, very small about how I came to the understanding that we need to think like Christ thought in order for the scriptures to make sense. Mm-hmm. And so I admonish people to think in red ink. And the red ink, of course, is the reference to the words of Christ in red in a Bible, realizing that that concept's, you know, over 100 years old. But I think we ought to put emphasis on what Jesus actually said and not necessarily what Reverend Blowhard says that he said.
So do you believe all of the red ink that's in the Bible that Jesus quotes are actual quotes from him?
No. And not to be insulting to you, I don't mean this as an insult, but I don't believe that because I'm not an idiot.
You don't have to worry about insulting. That's pretty hard.
Okay. Actually, you know, I believe that what we have is a very reliable but I believe the Bible is a reliable book, and I believe it's accurate insofar as is possible. And I also believe that there's likely supernatural intervention in the preservation of the Bible over these many years. Huh. But to believe that it's infallible, inerrant, and holy and inspired, and every word of it is God-breathed, and all this kind of foolishness is, I think it's really a waste of time. Because that concept cannot be defended by any logical person. But I do happen to believe that that the Bible can be trusted.
Hmm. And how do you decipher what can be trusted and what is just nonsense?
Jesus's promise to us was not that if I go away, I will send a book. Mm-hmm. His promise was not that if I go away, I'm going to develop Sunday school. And I'm going to send you pastors and teachers, you know, and Bible teachers and seminaries and all the rest of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He said that if I go away, I'm going to send my spirit into the earth. And by your acceptance of the commandments of God and by your living by his commandments, you will initiate a relationship between me, my Father, and you. We will come and live inside you and lead you and guide you from the inside. The Bible was never mentioned. Books were never mentioned. Translations were never mentioned. He says that he's going to inhabit us and dwell in us and speak to us from the inside out.
How does that work exactly?
Logistically?
Yeah, how does somebody live inside and speak for me?
Well, he set up criteria for us that if you will keep my commandments, I will come into you, my Father will come into you, and we will lead you and guide you into all truth.
Okay.
Sometimes that leadership takes us away from Scripture. Sometimes it takes us toward it. The Bible being infallible, that's foolishness.
Okay.
The Bible being inerrant, that's foolishness. But, the Spirit of God that has come within us can very much, very easily tell us, when we read in the Scriptures, a certain concept or a certain idea. There's several of them as I read them in black and white, in ink on paper. I don't buy it.
So how does it work? How do you decipher which ones are right and which ones are wrong? Does Jesus that's living inside of you show you this? How's that work? How does this work?
Well, I think that if we just put this into I guess common or natural terms, this is a knowing within ourselves.
Okay.
If you decide to have an affair with the gal across the street, I don't care if you're Christian or not, there's something within you that says this is the wrong thing to do. That's why you look both ways when you knock on her door.
Huh.
And And there is an inner knowing in every person. The Bible teaches that God has placed a light within the heart of every man. And that light, if he follows that light, mm-hmm. will lead him to righteousness, to God, to eternal life.
Let your conscience be your guide. So let your conscience be your guide, let your Jiminy Cricket, and in your case, let your Jesus be your guide, correct?
In the vernacular of let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Hmm. Yes,
gotcha.
Absolutely. And it's not so simple. I think Kierkegaard was the one who said that if you're right with God, then you can pretty much. I forget. I'm so sorry. I forgot how he said it.
That's all right.
But he was saying that. I know what it was. Do as thou wilt.
Hmm.
That was the advice. If we live as we should, and we're not violating the commandments of God, you can live as you think is right and be right with God. You can't. Oh, go ahead.
You mentioned following the commandments. As long as we're following those commandments, do you know which ones specifically? Or is it just all of them? Or is it just the Ten Commandments?
Well, there's a Jewish frame of mind. There's a Muslim frame of mind. There's a Christian frame of mind about the commandments. But we really don't care about what their frame of mind is. Mm-hmm. What we can do is we can read in the scriptures when God gave the Ten Commandments, mm-hmm. he inscribed them in a rock with mm-hmm. his finger. Now, his finger did not wear out. Whoa. He did not say, oh, my goodness.
Where does it say he used his finger? Where does it say that he used his finger? I didn't see that one. I must have missed that.
If you allow me to search for it as we talk, I'll find it for you.
Of course, yes, yes.
I believe it even uses the term finger of God.
Awesome.
He inscribed those commandments in rock with his finger. And so I guess my point is his mm-hmm. finger didn't wear out.
Okay.
He didn't get tired. He didn't say, I've got 500 or 603 more of these, but we don't have time now. The commandments of God were 10 commandments inscribed in a rock.
Uh-huh.
I don't really care if the Jews think there's 613. I don't really care what anybody says.
Okay.
There's no reason to believe there's more than 10 commandments.
Well, there's a whole book full of laws. Like, there's a whole bunch of laws here. There's Exodus laws, there's Levitical laws, there's Deuteronomy laws.
Well,
there's all these different laws. All of these laws, according to Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect. So every single law is perfect. It doesn't say that the Ten Commandments are perfect. It says the law of the Lord is perfect. So that goes with all of the laws, the ones in Exodus, the one in Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and so on. Right?
Well, what you're saying is, yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying is that the law of God is complete. Is mm-hmm. what perfect means.
Oh.
And the law of God is complete.
I've never heard perfect referred to as complete before. That's a new one to me.
If you say that a person is, let's say you read the scripture that says, thou shalt not steal.
Okay.
Oh, Moses takes that commandment,
mm-hmm.
and in the Deuteronomy, which means second law,
mm-hmm.
he explains that not only what you steal as a thief,
mm-hmm.
but what you take that doesn't belong to you, what wanders onto your property that does not belong to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes through and adds all of these commandments saying that this does not just mean what you sneak off in the middle of the night and break into your neighbor's house and steal.
Right.
This is taking what does not belong to you. Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he says, he starts adding laws. That means your mama and your mom-in-law and your daughter-in-law and you're this and you're that and your goat and your sheep.
So what you're saying is it's just like an extension of the Ten Commandments. It's a explains them. Okay, so when it explains in Exodus 21, verse 2, if you buy a Hebrew slave, and he is to serve you for 6 years, but in that seventh year he can go free, but his wife and kids have to stay. And then verse 4, it says, the woman and her children shall belong to her master, and only the man shall go free. Well, that's kind of a trick, because now the man's going to come back to his wife and kids, and when he does, it says that he will be a slave forever. And then also it says...
It does.
Yeah, it says if a man sells his daughter, he gives laws about what to do if you sell your daughter. Yeah. These aren't perfect, and these are not extensions, really, of the Ten Commandments.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay. You'll never get me to agree to that.
Oh,
That's just a bunch of self-centered Jews that think that they're the most important and the chosen people in the world, and they can do whatever the heck they want with Gentiles. This has been a problem for a long time. And by the way, Exodus 31:18 is where he mentions his finger writing the commandments. Go ahead.
I'm going. 31:18. When the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him two tablets of the testimony, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. Nice job.
Good.
A lot of times people can't back up their verses. It's pretty nice to have somebody be able to actually give me a reference here. I love it. Thank you so much.
Well, the difference in me and most other people is I've actually read the Bible.
Yeah, you just don't prescribe to all of it. So
ascribe to it the way it is presented in modern churches, by modern preachers, conventional Christianity, it's a farce. It's a phony. It's fake. It's hollow. It's a waste of time.
Well, they take the Bible literally.
I'm sorry?
They take the Bible literally, most of them, and that's how it's supposed to be taken. It doesn't say anywhere that this is fanciful stories. These are actually real events, it says. These are supposed to be, actual... breathed out words of Yahweh, according to 2 Timothy. All scripture is God breathed and useful for preaching, teaching, and useful, training in righteousness.
Well, would you think that Paul would consider what he's writing to Timothy at that particular point to be scripture?
I have no idea the thoughts of Paul.
Well, what I'm saying is when people say all scripture, they get very small with their thinking. When he was talking to Timothy and said all scripture is God breathed, he's talking about scripture that was given by God to man to write in a book.
Where does it say that?
I'm just saying that.
Well, you're adding to it now. See, what you're doing is you're adding to it. No. It says all scripture, and you're like, well, all scripture that God did and this and that. And you're giving stipulations
So you're telling me that Moby Dick is inspired because that's scripture. That's written word. Well, that's what scripture means.
Right, but I don't think that's what he's referring to when he says scripture. I'm sure he's referring to the book that he's writing in here,
So I'm adding to it, and you're taking away from it.
I'm not adding.
I'm saying
taking.
Somehow,
I'm reading
somewhere,
it as it's written, but that's okay.
Somehow, somewhere, it has to make sense, and you can't believe that all scripture, everything inside your King James Bible or your New Inspired Version or your whatever Bible you happen to have, you cannot believe that every word in that is inspired of God. Especially when the words inside the book say, to the rest, speak I, Paul says, not the Lord.
Okay.
I'm saying that the Bible doesn't even make the claim that it is fully inspired and every word in it is inerrant and infallible and blah, blah, blah.
Just 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed. All scripture. They put it in a book full of scriptures. I put a book together and I says everything, all this is my writing. Okay, well, all of this is my writing. Not all of this, not every book ever written. Clearly, it's just the stuff that's in that book. So that's what I take out of it. That's just my interpretation of it. And, you know, the Bible can be interpreted any way, and that's what makes it so dangerous.
Oh, I agree with you. That's why we need to move away from the Bible as far as considering it to be, quote-unquote, the Word of God.
Right. So you believe that the law of the Lord is perfect, Psalm 19:7, and you don't believe that that's any kind of man putting that in there? You believe that God put that verse in the Bible?
No, actually, David put that verse in the Bible.
Well, all Scripture is God-breathed, so do you think that God inspired David to put that in there?
More than likely, yes.
More than
likely. I think that David was an inspired man, and I think he wrote many things that were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit.
So,
If
God put that in there, and did he inspire every author in here, or just some of the authors in here?
I don't believe he inspired every author in there, no.
Okay.
And I certainly don't believe he inspired every
word.
So
why do you take this book seriously, then, if it's just written by men that are fallible thousands of years ago?
Because it works. Same reason I listen to my doctor when he says, take this medicine, and it works.
Wow.
I believe that what he's told
me is the truth. The doctor has science behind him. He's not referring to an old ancient book and giving you a medicine prescribed from a book. That's completely different. He goes to school for years and actually studies actual things. The Bible is just a book.
But what if he was?
That's a what if.
But what if the doctor actually was referring to some ancient recipe or some ancient medicine or something? And it does.
He would lose his medical license.
What are you going
to
do?
He would lose his medical license, and I would not have gone to him to begin with.
All right. But what I'm saying is if someone gives you a cure for a problem, are you going to say because it's not scientific or because it doesn't match with other people's thoughts or whatever that it doesn't work? Or is seeing, believing, and is, you know, logic going to be a part of our Christianity, or is it not? I just don't think that we can throw logic out the window.
What is this? What is this ancient book curing? You said it's a cure.
It cures what's wrong with us within ourselves. It's why we hate one another. It's why we have prejudices against one another. It's why we fight with each other. It's why our marriages don't last.
Wow.
It's why our homes break up. It's why we're ill in a lot of cases.
Because
we don't have
the Bible, or what is it that's making us do all of these things that we don't have?
The cure for this is to do what we're told Father God.
And what are we told? Yes. Is it the Ten Commandments or is it all of the law?
Yes.
Just the Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments is where we begin.
Commandments. So this is the only ones, though. I just don't understand why you don't follow the rest of them. When it says that the law of the Lord is perfect, you pick just the Ten Commandments, and nowhere does it say only follow the Ten Commandments.
The Bible talks about the Ten Commandments that were given on Sinai. They were not given on Sinai. This is the Deuterocanonical laws. They were the second laws, explanations, expansions given by Moses to the children of Israel, saying, if you think because a cow walks on your property, if you think finders keepers is the way we're going to live here. No, you need to know that's stealing. That's taking somebody else's property.
Right.
And Moses had to
just like when he tells women in Deuteronomy 22 that they must marry their rapists. These are the laws he's put in place. These are the rules he has. If women have a monthly cycle in Leviticus 19, they have to kill something as an apology to Yahweh. These are his laws. He thinks that cooties can be spread throughout the whole village by touch through vaginal bleeding, which is crazy. Leviticus 12, if you give birth to a daughter, you're unclean longer than a male child. These are his laws. The laws he has are not perfect. They are not...
You're ascribing you're ascribing, mm-hmm. you are describing exactly the problem here mm-hmm. that I'm telling you, God gave us 10 commandments and you're trying to convict him of giving us 613 laws.
You just told me that these are laws, though.
You're convicting him unjustly.
How
you're
am I
convicting him?
That's what it says in his book. It says the law of the Lord is perfect, and these are the laws of the Lord. Where does it say that these are not the laws of the Lord? Does it say that these are laws of men instead of the Lord? Who gave these laws to the men?
What did he write? He wrote. What did he write with his finger? He wrote 10 commandments. Hmm. What did Moses write? 603, and that number is
right.
dubious.
And all of those were inspired by God. You said.
No. Oh. No, I didn't. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the Bible does have inspired words and mm-hmm. inspired writing in it. Mm-hmm. But to say that every word in it is inspired, you'd have to read
Moses' laws specifically. Moses' laws specifically. Who came up with those ideas? Was it Moses? And then God said, "Yeah, that's okay." Or was it God and said, "Yeah, do that, Moses." Which one was it? Or is there a third option?
I don't know what. I don't know where we see God endorsing the law of Moses. I don't know what you're referring
to.
He
put it in his book. I mean, if it's in his book, he's endorsing it.
Now, God is not a publisher. There is no printing press in heaven.
This is Yahweh's book. This is his only book. This is where he comes from. Correct?
Well, you have more faith than I do. I don't believe he has a book.
Okay.
To tell you the truth.
Okay. Well, if we didn't have the Bible, who would know about Yahweh?
Well, many people would know about him, but they would not know certain particulars about him. Paul says, I wouldn't even known that coveting was a sin unless the Bible told me that the coveting was a sin. We wouldn't know what day the Sabbath day is unless the Bible told us how to calculate Sabbath. We wouldn't know his holy days if the Bible didn't teach us how to calculate these holy days. There's a lot of informational.
Days? Why does he need holy days?
Why does he need them?
Yeah.
The question is, why does he need them? I don't know that he needs them.
Well, he's pretty adamant about having them. You can't even pick up sticks on the Sabbath or he'll kill you or stone you to death. Numbers 15.
They are. Well, these are gifts to us. They're not some demand
so
that he's
either
making.
Take my gift or I stone you to death. Why is the Sabbath so important to him? Why does he need it to be holy? And why does he want reverence? Why does he want...
Your children may not appreciate your gift of education.
And I'm not going to stone them to death if they don't accept my gift.
Let's not ascribe to God what men write in the Bible, shall we?
Then why are you ascribing to anything that's in there? If you're telling me that we can't ascribe something to Yahweh just because it doesn't sound great, you're only taking the good stuff because, well, Yahweh had to have been part of that because it's good. The part where it says, I will send wild animals against you and they will rob you of your children in Leviticus 26. That, well, I'm sure, wasn't Yahweh. Isaiah 45:7, I create evil. I'm sure that wasn't Yahweh either. That was just men. I mean, how do you decipher this? You're telling me it's a conscience. You're telling me your Jiminy Cricket or your Jesus is telling you that these things are right and these things are wrong. It doesn't make any sense to me.
If you want to trivialize it by calling it Jiminy Cricket,
it's a conscience. Jesus is your conscience.
But
let your Jesus be your conscience.
You're forgetting
in other words.
You're forgetting the beginning of our conversation. This is the promise of Jesus Christ that if you'll keep my commandments, I'll come into you.
I think you're forgetting the question, though. That's not the question. The question is still, you're using Jesus to decipher which parts are good and which parts are bad, right?
The Spirit of God within me tells me that this is right, this is wrong.
Okay. So when it tells you that Jesus or God said, I will send wild animals against you and they will rob you of children, what does Jesus tell you?
Well, I'm getting hung up on the semantics of Jesus telling me anything, but I'm going to let these things go so we can have the conversation.
These are the conversations.
I have a real hard time believing that God sends wild animals to tear us apart.
Of course you do.
But I...
You think he's loving, so of course that would be a hard thing for you to accept.
Well, now, loving has nothing to do with it.
Oh.
Just is why I have trouble with it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So you don't think it's just to send wild animals against children, correct?
No, I don't. Okay.
Good. You don't think it's just to starve children to death, do you?
No.
Hosea 9, Yahweh does that. He makes milk run dry. And then he aborts babies in Hosea 9 as well. Do you think it's just to drown every child on the planet? Because he does that too in Genesis. He sends wild bears in Judges against young children. So
what I think you may be suffering from
is a
foundation that believes that God knows everything. He's everywhere at once.
That's what his book tells me.
He's all powerful. I'm sorry?
But that's what his book tells me.
Tell me where it says.
In John, he says that God is love. God is love in John.
Well, where does he say that he knows everything? Or that he's omniscient, omnipresent?
There's a whole psalm. It's called God Knows Everything. There's an entire psalm called God Knows Everything. It's in there.
Well, yeah. I'm sure if that's somebody's interpretation of something David wrote or
collected. All of this is somebody's interpretation, dude. All of it.
I'm with you. So why are you so adamant in believing that if the Bible says that God kills babies at Passover, or if he sends wild animals, why are you so adamant to believe that it's true?
I didn't even go to the Passover. Do you think the Passover is real?
Well, I've been listening to your shows.
Oh, nice. Nice. I could tell with the Passover in there.
I'm really wondering if you've ever had a good guest. Have you?
They're all great. They're all great guests. I think every one of my guests have been fantastic, including you, sir.
They're so twisted in their thinking, and they're so illogical, and they have no answers for these things. I'm just amazed.
Sir, do you believe that Jesus rose from the dead?
Yes.
See, and there you go. You believe some crazy things too. You believe a man came back from the dead and by magic. Right?
Why do you want to call it magic?
Well, what would you call it, man? What else would you call it? I'm going to speak and somebody's going to come back from the dead, or I'm just going to snap my fingers or whatever it was. It's got to be magic. What else can it be? If you say
the power of God,
the creator of the world, what's he use? He's got to use magic, right? He can't just use his words.
You don't think that the creator of the world could infuse life into a body?
Correct. Really? Using magic. He has to use something to infuse that life with,
okay,
right?
Okay, all right.
It would be magic.
If you want to call it magic, we'll call it magic so we can continue our conversation.
I'm just saying, you believe in magic just as the Christians believe in magic and the Mormons and the Jews and everybody believes in magic in some way. Because if Jesus is coming back from the dead, there's magic. If donkeys and snakes are talking, there's magic involved, you know. So.
Yeah, okay. Supernatural.
Above, magic.
Yeah, okay. All right. I just don't want people to think that I believe in magic.
Don't worry about it.
I do believe in the supernatural. I believe that when God interferes in our life, that it goes above what we call natural situations, and that is the hard definition of supernatural. I'm just afraid our connection is allowing us to step on each other, and I don't want to be rude.
No, don't worry.
These are all difficult things to deal with, and most of the time, it is God. It is the silent one. It's the one who doesn't defend himself and doesn't flail his arms around like I do and get loud, that actually walks away with the blame. And I've often thought, you know, that if agnostics and atheists were to just take a sharp knife and just eliminate the bullcrap that has come over the pulpit, they would lose 80%, perhaps 90% of their argument against God. Your complaint is not with him. He hates this bull crap as much as you do. But unfortunately, he takes the rap for this.
Well, you know, that he's supposed to be in charge,
right? God said that, and
Do you believe that he's in charge?
He hasn't been in charge since the Garden of Eden.
Oh, so he's
what,
not.
What do you mean?
He's not all powerful?
You know, you're talking about an almighty God that does not need man to do what needs to be done? Yes. All powerful, able to do anything in the world? Bullcrap.
Wow. Wow. So why do you think he's not all powerful? Just curious.
Well, how can, for example, the Bible you were putting so much stock in a while ago says God can't lie.
Okay.
You want to put the word can't in front of God or after the word God?
That's,
you know,
a good one.
How many things do you need to not be able to do to consider yourself not all powerful? God never makes the claim. The Bible doesn't make the claim that God's omniscient, omnipresent. Well, it does say that he's omnipotent, which literally means all powerful, but it just means he doesn't need you.
So it's
what he's saying.
So his all powerfulness is he doesn't need human beings, correct? You don't think that Yahweh or Jehovah needs human beings, correct?
In certain areas he does, because certain things are our domain. He gave us this earth.
So why do you think he gave us this earth? Why do you think he created us to begin with? Why did he make people?
Because he wants the company of creation. This is why he gave us a will.
This is
why he refused to make us into robots.
So he was bored? Well, I don't think we have free will. There's nowhere in the Bible that actually says we actually all get free will. There's nowhere.
And if you read it, there's
a lot of places we don't get free will. Like, you know, I'm sure you've heard me say Romans 9:16, he hardened the Pharaoh's heart. You know, I have mercy on who I want to have mercy on, and I harden who I want to harden. And 2 Thessalonians, he puts powerful delusions onto people so that they'll believe a lie. I mean, that's not free will. He raises up the Babylonians in Habakkuk. That's not free will. We don't have free will according to the book.
I'm with you on this. There are certain windows and certain things in our life that we can exercise our will in. That's true. But
so
free
really...
will?
Yeah.
No, I don't buy it.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay. So we are pretty much robots. He can do whatever he wants with us. Right?
I can curse God and walk away and be free to my own self for the rest of my life.
But you cannot blaspheme
the
Holy Spirit. If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're going to guilty of eternally.
Sure, I can.
Mark 3:29.
Blaspheme the Holy.
Blasphemy against the Holy. If Mark 3:29. If you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you'll never be forgiven. You will be guilty of an eternal sin. So,
that doesn't keep me from doing it. That doesn't hinder my will.
It's an eternal sin. That means you're not going to be forgiven. That means you're probably going to go to hell. Correct.
Well, you're on a different subject now.
I know. As soon as I said it, I figured.
I noticed hell had a big question.
Do you believe in hell?
I do believe there is a place of Gehenna, of destruction, and I believe that hell is a dirt hole in the ground that every one of us are going to, yes.
So none of this lake of fire.
We're all going to hell.
You don't believe any of this? You don't believe a lake of fire, eternal punishment, gnashing of teeth? You don't believe any of that?
I do believe there is a lake of fire. I believe there is such a thing as a destruction. What I can't buy is the eternal dying and dying and dying and never dying. Oh. You know, that kind of – that all came from Dante and some goofballs in the Catholic Church. There is no scriptural reason to believe that hoo-ha at all. I mean, even
it says,
I mean,
Matthew,
I mean,
in Matthew 25:46, it says that it's an eternal punishment, that hell is an eternal punishment. The devil will be there with his angels.
Yeah.
And it's a lake of fire.
It just
So
it's simply saying that it's an eternal punishment. In other words, it'll never be recalled. It's an eternal judgment, just like there's no appeal. Okay. It can never be recalled.
Okay, so if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're going to be stuck in this place where you're burning, you're tortured, and
No, that's Dante, man.
No, it's the Bible. I just read it.
That's not scripture.
I just read it. It's from Matthew. Fire.
We will go to Gehenna, but the idea of burning forever?
That's what it says. That's what it says, man.
Well, I mean, you put a log in the fire.
For eternity, you're going to be tortured.
You put a log in the fire.
Uh-huh.
You put a log in the fire, you're not torturing it. You put a log in the fire, it consumes. The Bible teaches that we will, those who overcome, I hope I'm one of them, will look upon the ashes of our enemies.
Yeah, but it's magic. It's a magical place, man. It's full of fire. You're going to be burning forever. And you don't think Yahweh can make you burn forever? You don't think he has that kind of magic? Or what's it called?
I'm sure he could, but that's not my God. That's the God that kills babies.
That's the God of the Bible, man. It's all over the Bible.
I'm afraid it is all over the Bible, but the Bible's not the Word of God, is it?
But you believe it. But not that part.
I believe a lot of it, absolutely.
Right.
I believe
but
a lot of
not the part
it.
Where he kills
I mean,
babies.
I live my life by this book. I love this book, but I also have sense enough to know.
But you take parts out of this book that you don't like. You cut them out, and you say these were man. So you don't have
it. Well, I also put parts back that Ben has cut out for the last 150 years. Nobody seems to care that 14 books were removed from their Bibles.
Yeah, well, you know.
Nobody cares.
Deuteronomy
Nobody cares that these books have been edited and changed.
Well, some people
You know,
do.
This is just hypocrisy. This is religious speak.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean a damn thing when it comes down to the
but you
to the nitty-gritty. I'm sorry?
But you believe it, though. You talk of it as if it's nonsense, but you believe parts of it. Like, if I took a math book and it was teaching me algebra, I was like, nah, that part doesn't make any sense to me. That can't be right. So I'm just going to believe this part of the math book. Or a science book. Let's start the science book. That doesn't make any sense. You use the facts that are in
that
the book.
That would be an idiot speaking, Michael. That would be an idiot to say it doesn't make sense to me, therefore I don't believe it. But if I read in a math book.
Right,
that,
you don't like it.
Five plus.
You didn't say it doesn't make sense. You said you don't like it. You don't like that the thought of your God torturing children throughout the Old Testament, so you take that part out. You don't like the thought of your God giving you rules that women must marry the rapist in Deuteronomy, so you take that part out. But you keep the part where Jesus came back to life using magic and heaven because that makes you feel better. That's the God that you like. That's the God you have created in your own head that you pronounce to be your God, to be Yahweh, to be Jehovah.
Is it really?
Well, yes, because you've taken
really
parts out of the book here that explain who he is and what he's done. You've taken those parts out because you don't like them. So you've created your own and your own image. In your own mind,
you're forcing me to interrupt you.
Go ahead,
and
be
rude, and I don't want to do that.
Oh, it's okay. Do it. Go ahead.
But is it really the fact that I don't like it that I remove it, or that it doesn't make sense? Now,
it makes perfect
sense. I don't care what math book you look into. Mm. If it says 5 + 3 = 9, you're going to throw it away if you have a modicum of intelligence.
Right. But if you keep these verses
it
all makes sense. It all makes sense. He is a dictator. He is jealous. He kills people for the most ridiculous reasons. In 2 Samuel, he kills David's son. He not only kills him, but he makes him suffer for 7 days with a sickness because the enemies of the Lord showed utter contempt to him. So he killed a child. Not only did he kill the child, but he made it suffer. And I'm sure that's just man putting that at story.
And you saw God write this down on a piece of parchment and hand it to you and say, here, read this.
And you saw Jesus come back from the dead. And you saw that.
No, I didn't claim to.
Exactly. I didn't claim to either. I'm just reading his book. This is what it tells me. This is what the book tells me. All scripture is God breathed. So
I'm offering you.
Uh-huh.
As another explanation. Right. All I'm offering is another explanation.
Right.
Hey, I'll tell you a book I would recommend mm-hmm. that you would probably enjoy called Who Wrote the Bible? I wish I knew the author's name right now.
Man, I wish I had it with me. It's in my bookcase in the living room.
I talk about these things because there's so many things in the scriptures that have been, well, frankly, just exaggerated and made ridiculous stories.
Exactly.
That make no sense whatsoever.
People coming back from the dead. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it doesn't make physical sense, but it certainly makes theological sense.
Of course, so does the Old Testament. If you think of it theologically, if you put your mind as theist, then of course it starts to make sense, especially as an apologist. No. Then you can make anything make sense by twisting it.
No.
You just chose not to twist it. You just cut it out.
It doesn't make theological sense that in one place the Bible says that God moved on David to number the people, and then you read over in a synoptic work that tells the same story. It says, and Satan moved on David to number the people.
Correct.
That's not theology.
Nope.
That's just piss poor writing. That's people that do not care about what they're writing on a piece of paper. This is the people of Israel that hated David and the people of Judah that loved him.
I agree that
anybody who thinks that the Bible is written without prejudice is not paying attention. Book is full of prejudice.
Should have had a better editor.
But you got Samson killing 1,000 people with the jawbone of an ass.
Magic.
Come on.
Magic, man.
It would have to be magic.
Correct. Jesus rising from the dead.
I believe
all of those other people that rose from the dead when Jesus died, remember? Oh, it was in Matthew, I think it was.
I don't believe that.
Oh, why not?
I don't believe that.
But you believe the part where he came back to life, but not that part.
Where Jesus resurrected from the dead, yes.
Yeah, but you believe that part, but not the other part. Do you believe Lazarus was raised from the dead?
You mean I'm not welcome to believe what the Spirit of God tells me is true?
We're past that. I know you cut out what you don't like. We're past that. So
if you hear from me that I cut out what I don't like in the Bible, you're missing it completely.
So do you believe that Lazarus?
There's a lot I don't like about the Bible.
Right.
A lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's
the thing you don't like the most about it?
You mean a particular Bible story?
A theological concept?
What?
A theological concept. Let's go with that one.
All my life, I have heard and been taught, as when I was a preacher, pastor, Baptist, whatever you want to call it, that the law can't save anyone.
Okay.
And when I started reading the Bible for myself, I found out Jesus said, well, sure, it'll save you, moron. Absolutely it will. What's your problem? And I'm thinking, what did he call me? But you see, the rich man came to Jesus and said, sir, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answered him, keep the law.
Yeah, not the Ten Commandments, the law.
Well, he says you've read the commandments,
and he
reiterated the commandments.
Yeah, but he didn't say follow the Ten Commandments, did he? He said the law, right?
He said keep the commandments. He didn't say ten, but he did say commandments.
Yeah.
But I don't know why that's a contention with you. I'm trying to figure out.
Because you just picked the Ten Commandments out of all of these laws he's given, and the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, and you just picked the ten. And nowhere does it say that you have to just follow the ten. It says all of the law. And even Jesus says that you have to follow every part of the law, not until heaven or earth disappear. Not one tidbit will disappear from the law. So you have to follow the law. Jesus even says so.
Well, when Jesus talks about the law, he's talking about the ten that he wrote in stone with his own finger.
Wait,
he is an authority.
Wait, you just said Jesus wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger?
Certainly.
I thought you said Jesus and God were not the same person. Oh, so Jesus did it, not Yahweh.
No, exactly.
Oh,
God doesn't have a, Jesus said God doesn't have a corporeal form. No man's seen God at any time. He's a spirit.
Yeah, but Moses seemed to have seen him face to face on several occasions.
He saw Jesus.
Oh, that this was is God, Jesus dude. Christ. It doesn't say Jesus anywhere in the Old Testament. There is not one mention
of
Jesus.
He didn't have that name for the next 1,500 years. What? Come on, you know the chronology here.
Come on, man.
Jesus wasn't born.
You're telling me that they called him Yahweh because he didn't have the name Jesus yet?
I don't know that they called him Yahweh at all.
Well, in the Bible, it calls him Yahweh or Jehovah or God, right? It doesn't call him Jesus. It doesn't use the name Jesus. Why did he wait 1,500 years to give himself the name Jesus?
You get a lot of a Jewish concept confused with Scripture.
That's because it's in there. It's all put together, man. It's a mixture of Jewish and New Testament. It's Jewish, New Testament mixed together. That's where your religion comes from. That's where Christianity comes from, is Judaism. If it wasn't for Judaism, you'd have no Christianity.
And where do you see God's name being Yahweh?
It's in the Old
where
Testament.
Where is that?
It's Yahweh. When he burning bush, he says, "My name is I am," or whatever.
And Jehovah. Jehovah.
Whatever you want to call it. It's not Jesus. Whatever you want to call it, it is not Jesus.
It's whatever I want to call it, but not Jesus.
Because it doesn't say Jesus. No. It does not say Jesus.
No, of course it doesn't say Jesus. Jesus was named after Joshua, who was the predecessor of Moses.
Yeah.
And I mean, so I'm not predecessor, I'm sorry, successor of Moses.
So if Jesus was...
That's who he was named after.
So who came down in the Passover and killed the children in their sleep? Was it Yahweh or was it Jesus?
The Bible does not...
It says the Lord.
It says it's the angel of the Lord.
Nope, it says the Lord came down and struck the children of Egypt. The Lord came down. Not his spirit, not Jesus,
I think it's called the angel of the Lord. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't recall it.
Here it is. The Lord at midnight, the Lord, this is Exodus 12:29. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt. From the firstborn arrow who sat, Pharaoh sat on the throne, to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon. He killed every single firstborn child because they did not have blood on their door. The Lord struck down all the firstborn. So who did it? Was it Jesus or Yahweh, do you believe?
It was the person to whom they were referring when they said the Lord.
Okay.
I don't know who it was.
Oh, okay. Okay. I thought maybe there was some kind of...
Did you happen to hear about that boat capsizing just off the East Coast? And the lifeguard goes out there, and the lifeguard goes out there and kills 250 people. Did you hear about that?
No.
Or did you hear that the lifeguard actually saved 35 people?
I didn't hear anything.
Have the idea.
I didn't follow the story.
I'm making a metaphor, Michael. All right, here's what I'm saying. You know, we have an earth here, and you know, Jesus said, "I didn't come to condemn the world. The world's condemned already. He came to save us from a situation that we find ourselves in. He didn't come to condemn us.
Who gave
He's not
this
here
problem?
To destroy us."
What's he saving us from?
Purpose.
What is he saving us from?
Well, you want simple answers, theological answers. He's saving us from ourselves, what we have created on this earth.
Who's going to throw us in hell? Who's the one who's going to throw us in hell? Is it myself, or is it Yahweh? Who's going to throw us in hell if we don't get straight with God, or however you want to say it?
All right, we've covered hell, haven't we? I mean, we've talked about this.
Right, but who's going to throw you? Who's going to throw you in hell? Who's going to do it? Yahweh. Yahweh's going to be the one who does it. Yahweh's the one that made hell. Yahweh's the one who's got to control hell. Correct. And he doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that Satan controls hell. It says that Yahweh puts him in there, and he sends people who are not in his book of life down there. So Yahweh's the one that made hell. Yahweh's the one that controls this hell. So Jesus is saving us from Yahweh throwing us into hell. Jesus is saving us because in Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Yahweh can't forgive anybody. As we all know, he's not all-powerful. He can't forgive anybody without something dying. You know, so Jesus has to die in order to save us from Yahweh throwing us in hell because he requires bloodshed.
I see where you're going with this, but you know, it's kind of an ancient atheist argument that is very, very narrow. You're talking about you know, somebody you know, throwing a bomb in a building and finding out that he has a family member in there.
You know, this is you throw your family members in there if they try and turn you against him. They're all going to hell. Liars, unbelievers, murderers, you know, idolaters, liars. I said liars.
But there are some people who love the Lord and who want a relationship with him. They're not all people that put him on trial and say, okay, now prove yourself to me. There are some people that want to be put on trial before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry?
It's blind faith because they've never seen him or heard this guy. They just take it on
this
book that, number one, you don't even believe is all true. But you just take it all on blind faith that some of this stuff is true and that a Jewish guy came back to life to save you from a being who's not all-powerful who wants to throw you into hell if you don't listen to him.
Is there some other kind of faith that I'm not aware of other than blind faith? Isn't that why you married your wife? Because you believe she's going to be with you for the rest of your life.
No, I married my wife because I love my wife. Not because I have faith in something.
The faith is going to show up one day.
I don't know. It's going to show up. I don't need faith. I just continue on with my life.
You might. Yeah. You might need faith when things start going bad and you find your wife seems to be interested in somebody else.
Wow.
You know, I mean, I'm over 60 years old. I've seen a lot. And so there comes a time when a person has to have faith. And love just doesn't seem to work.
Well, if love doesn't work, then why is there a relationship? I don't need faith to... that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous, sir.
The answer to your marital questions is divorce. I don't know if you like like that option, you're going to have to.
Everything's going fine. I don't know why all of a sudden I'm heading for divorce now.
faith is a beautiful thing. It's not a stupid thing. Mm. A lot of people feel like it's just a stupid thing, you know, the two-headed spaghetti monster kind of a stupid thing. By the way, you might be interested to know, as a loud atheist, you're familiar with the Thinking Atheist.
I am
online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I air on my ThinkReading.tv. Mm-hmm. We broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I broadcast The Thinking Atheist on my Christian television show. Wow. You know why?
Why?
I agree with you. There's just so much crap involved in Christianity. The only difference in me and an atheist is I happen to believe that somewhere along the line, some of this crap was based on truth somewhere along the line.
Right.
And I'm ready to set out to find it. I've not been disappointed so far. I'm a little disappointed that you're not overwhelmed with me.
No, I think you're a blast, actually. So would you consider yourself a Christian?
A Christian atheist, yes.
A Christian atheist. Well, atheist is someone who doesn't believe in God. So,
as I tell people, I'm a Christian. I'm thoroughly Christian,
mm-hmm.
but I don't believe that your God exists.
Gotcha. So,
Well, I mean, you know, when you take God and you turn him into a Trinity, and you give him the attributes omnipresent, omniscient, all-knowing. He's everywhere at once. He can do anything. And all this magical junk that is usually ascribed to pagan gods or Santa Claus. And you start, you know, adding all these things to him. He becomes very impotent and ridiculous. And the stories, you know, they get crazy. You know, God saved my grandson from a motorcycle accident, and he should have died. And you know, he was saved. Oh, tell me, how did that happen? Well, you know, the EMTs picked him up and the helicoptered him to another city, put him in ICU for 3 months, and, you know, fed him through tubes. Oh, this is God, is it?
Yeah.
Have real trouble with that kind of thinking.
You and me both.
I have real trouble with that. Look, you want to thank God for the doctor. Thank God for the hospital. Thank God somebody can fix your grandson. I'm with you.
Thank the hospital. Thank the doctor.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, some Christians think that what I just said is pure sacrilege.
Well, yeah, you like the idea of a simpler God, one that's not too involved. He kind of just intervenes every once in a while.
Yeah, well, I think his involvement is hard for us to see. I think he is involved. But
how do you decipher? How do you decipher if he's involved or not?
Don't have to.
Oh.
I don't have to figure it all out. I'm not in charge of it.
Gotcha.
Don't have to. I got enough trouble just figuring out how to not hate my neighbor. I got trouble enough in my life just trying to, you know, to overcome and adapt to the world's troubles and a wife walking out and kids walking out. And, you know, I mean, all the troubles that we have in life, there's no answers to these. We have to dig these out. And I happen to believe that what we talked about at the beginning of this interview was that Spirit of God that comes into us because we keep His commandments. I believe that it teaches us and guides us, and it gives us what we need on a daily basis to answer people, to have answers for questions, to find wisdom that's beyond our years, wisdom that's beyond our knowledge, knowledge that's beyond our education.
It's called learning.
And for me, this has worked just perfectly. It's worked.
Right.
Supernaturally.
Right, yeah. Well, you've just attributed that to Jesus or your supernatural feelings that guide you and tell you what to do and what's right or wrong, correct?
When it is supernatural and it does turn to the good and it does answer my problem and it does fix things, yes. Mm. I attribute that to God.
You attribute that to God, not to yourself, not the one who actually did it. That's the problem I have. You've taken your conscience, your Jiminy Cricket, and you've attributed it to Yahweh specifically. You say that when you say something is bad, you see that killing children for, you know, the glorification of yourself is bad. You say that tearing children apart, drowning them, it's all bad. You see that as bad, not because Yahweh told you it was bad, because it just makes sense that killing children is not beneficial to anybody, especially if you're going to starve them and tear them up with wild animals. We can just say as human beings, conscious.
There's also an aspect. There's an aspect of this that we're leaving out.
What?
And that is that these things were never said at all.
Okay.
That God never told them to go through the land and sow it with salt so it won't grow any food forever. He didn't tell the people to kill every animal, donkey, fatling an ass. There is a chance that, and it's a darn good chance if you look at these things critically, that this stuff was exaggerated horribly.
Right, and you believe it.
You know, you were talking about the NIDA laws a while ago, the laws that have to do with the women's menstrual cycle. I frankly don't think God gives a rat's behind about the NIDA laws.
Well, he did in the Bible.
I really don't.
He did in the Bible, though. He was pretty adamant about it.
If you believe.
He wanted doves and
stuff killed to him. The difference in me and you is you believe he wrote every word of that.
Well, that's what he tells me.
And I don't.
That's what the book tells me. The book tells me that he wrote this. The book tells me that all of it is inspired by God.
So the book is testifying. Michael, if I told you that the book was telling me to believe the book You would never let me get away with that.
Right, but you believe that the book tells you somebody came back to life and you take it as fact. So why can't I take the other part as fact where he tells me that all of the book is inspired by him?
You can. I'm not telling you you can't.
But why don't you
then?
Why don't you take it as fact? Why do you just take this one absurd idea that somebody came back from life? And only this one, not the other ones where all those other people came back from life. But why this only this one? It doesn't make any sense to take this one absurdity and take it as fact. And all the other absurdities are just absurdities. It doesn't make any sense.
I see what you mean, but if I were saying that let's just say that if we were talking about this in reverse, and I said, if I believe in the resurrection of Christ, I have to believe everything else the Bible said, you'd say, that's absurd.
Of course it is. It's all absurd. The whole thing's absurd. The whole thing's absurd. But I mean, I just find it very curious, and it just baffles me why you take this one absurdity and you're okay with it, but the other ones you're not. It just blows my mind.
Well, it's probably difficult to think about because you've probably been around the fundamentalist, you know, I believe it, God said it, I believe it, that settles it.
True.
Crap.
Yeah.
You've been around that kind of stuff, and you're not talking to one of those right now. I'll tell you, if I wake up tomorrow morning and I'm not convinced that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, we'll do another interview. I am just not settled on the fact that I know every flipping thing that God knows. I don't understand people who do.
1 Corinthians 2:11. No one knows the thoughts of Yahweh.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, except the Spirit of Yahweh. And that was the promise. Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, I'll come into you. My Father and I will move into you, and we'll lead you and guide you into all truth. One of the disciples asked him, how are you going to manifest yourself to us and not the rest of the world? He says, I'm going to do it through the Spirit of God. It was with you. It shall be in you. Hmm. The greatest promise in the scriptures, and nobody reads it. Everybody thinks the Bible's the Word of God. The Bible's the Word of God. Word of God, Word of God, Word of God. We're supposed to do what the Bible says. Have you read your Bible today? Did you? You know, and I'm thinking, that's not the Word of God. That's simply scriptures. It contains the Word of God. There's words of God in there. But that's not where we're supposed to live our life. How do you think we got 30, 40,000 different Christian denominations all believing the same book is holy, infallible, inspired, and inerrant, and unchangeable? How the heck did that happen?
Interpretation.
You have to be a moron. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, let me tell you something you can't do.
What?
I'll tell you something you can't do. You can't interpret the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. You will not miss one word of it. But as a matter of fact, you'll find that there's no words involved.
Yeah.
And that's what I want people to look for. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're laughing at me or with me?
I'm with you. I just... I love it. So last question I have for you today. It's
sure.
on your website, it states that the books you are writing are directed for those who are unable to set aside reason and logic when considering a relationship with God. So you're telling me that you want me to set aside reason and logic, and then religion will make sense to me?
Wait a minute now. Read that again. That's not what that's supposed to say. What does it say?
It's directed towards those who are unable to set aside reason and logic. So I'm unable to set aside my reason and logic when considering a relationship with God. Right? So I have to set it aside, reason and logic, in order to have this relationship. Then your religion will make sense. Is that what you're telling me?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that there are many people out there who can't set aside reason and logic. And therefore, Christianity does not make any sense to them whatsoever.
Okay, so I have to set aside.
And I'm here to tell you.
Okay.
I'm here to tell you that you can hold reason and logic fully intact in your life like you've never had before in your life.
Gotcha.
And Christianity, true Christianity, actually makes sense.
Minus the part where the guy comes back to life.
I'll give you that so we can part with a smile.
Love it, man. I love it. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today. You've been fantastic.
Okay. Let me know if you have any questions.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do this again sometime for sure, man. I've really enjoyed myself.
Thank you so much. I would love for people to know about our website.
Yes. Of course. Sorry, I apologize. Go ahead.
No, that's not a problem. Because there'll be people that, having listened to our conversation today, mm-hmm. will want to know who that weirdo is. Yeah. And I'll be glad to tell them. my website is thinkredinc.com, I-N-K, Inc. It's not Think Red Incorporated. It's Think Red Inc. And what we try to get people to do, mm-hmm. is to think like Jesus thought. And as of about 150 years ago, they took the words of Jesus and printed them in red in many Bibles. Mm-hmm. And that's where the idea of Think Red Ink comes from. So we're trying to have the mind of Christ within us. And all the rest of this stuff can just go by the way until we get it.
All right.
You know, I get criticized by my constituents and by my peers.
I'm sure you do.
Because they say, you can't just take the red words out of the Bible. You got to believe them all. Yeah. And I'm thinking, you idiot, you don't even read the red words. What are you even talking about? Do they really think that the rest of the Bible was written by people who weren't familiar with what Jesus taught? It's unbelievable. I'm just saying that
it's a lot of it's unbelievable.
I caught that. If you look at what Jesus's complaint was, uh-huh. you'll find that it is very similar to the atheist complaint, the agnostic complaint, the heathen's complaint, the pagan's complaint, and my complaint.
Well, Jesus doesn't complain about God killing children, and that's my complaint. But
you just got to quit believing that just because it's written in there, it must be true.
Just got to play along the right way.
You're never going to get the Bible to make sense to you until you understand that it's a book uh-huh. written by people.
I don't know. I totally
understand. The promise was
not. Totally understand that.
The promise was not if I go away. Mm-hmm. I'm going to send to you a book. He didn't say that.
It's true.
He said, I'm going to send the Spirit. Yeah. He said, I'm going to send the Spirit of God. My assistant just gave me the name. Richard Elliot Friedman wrote the book called Who Wrote the Bible?
Yeah.
You will really like this book.
I have that book, actually. I have it. It's in my library.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
Good
All right.
stuff, man. Thank you so much.
It's been fun.
It has been a blast. I really appreciate it.
All right. I'll see you later. Thank you so much.
Thank you, too. I'll keep in contact.
All right.
Bye. All right. Turn on that AC. Holy cow. That's all the podcast we have for you today. Thanks for listening. Before I close out the show, I have a favor to ask you, a call to action. I want to hear from you. Head on over to BSW the Podcast on Instagram and vote for your favorite new BSW logo. I believe your opinion matters, even if you are all just a bunch of heathens. If you enjoyed the show and want to help support what we do, please send all of your tithes and offerings to patreon.com/BSW the Podcast. Your weekly donation of a dollar or more will help keep this show going. As always, you can find us on the Bible Says What Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube pages. If you have any questions, hate mail, or guest suggestions, please send them to bswthepodcast@gmail.com. That's bswthepodcast@gmail.com. We are always on the lookout for new guests. And whether you listen to us on iTunes, Android, or YouTube, you can help others find the show and let us know how we are doing by giving us a rating and or comment. While you're there, don't forget to push that subscribe button so you won't miss out on next week's episode. Until then, would you kindly pick up your Bibles and read them? We'll be right back.
Because, I mean, you've got to have an issue with Yahweh killing children at some point.
Oh, I have issues with people claiming to be Christian who think it's okay to kill children.
Oh, no, I'm talking about Yahweh, the God that you worship. He's the one that kills children.